thanks for hanging in there, everybody. We'd like to have you check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. And where else, Don?
On Facebook, of course.
Absolutely. Like us, please.
And yeah, check out the website right now, because you can go fishing with us.
Yeah, and we really need you to do that, because you can register every single day. The trip is amazing to Ashkenam Resort. It's going to be 4 days. Everything's pretty much covered. You don't have to have anything.
Your license.
Oh, yeah. Rain gear.
Probably, yeah.
May help.
You know, umbrellas don't work in your boat.
Sunscreen. What doesn't?
Umbrellas.
No. They tear off real quick.
Especially if you're moving from spot to spot.
Yeah, we don't necessarily go slow unless it's really rough. We need to get there. We need to move on to the next spot. We need to get on our fish. Need to make that happen. But yeah, it's going to be a great trip. Fish with us. It's on the website, thevalleyoutdoors.com. I can't say enough about it. From me being one of the guides, one of the hosts, I guess we'd rather call it, because that's really what it is. We're just hosting people out in the water. And really, when you sit down and think about it, that's a pretty amazing, valuable little prize.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth a lot of bucks. You just got to get there. We got a gas covered in the boat. We've got food. We've got entertainment. We provide the entertainment. I guess you don't really want to classify that as entertainment.
Yeah, that's,
you know, depends on how you look at it.
They might want to come back.
If it's a YouTube moment, then maybe.
Yeah.
And it's in a beautiful area. Honestly, I grew up there on Cab and worked out there as a dock boy as a kid. Mom and dad for 20 years fished that lake. And a lot of great memories, and I had a lot of fun. We caught a lot of fish last year.
And so. We also fished Namekin.
And fished Namekin.
Yep. So it's kind of all the same water. It's pretty hard to tell when you go from one to the other.
But it's all beautiful, and a lot of good guys are up there. So
we'll have get a on guaranteed there. Great time as long
you
as the weather cooperates.
You are correct. So make sure you check it out. Fish with us. Hit the tab further down towards the bottom, isn't it, Don?
Yep.
I think so.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Punch that thing in there. TheValleyOutdoors.com. You can register every single day, and it will improve your chances from what I would possibly guess.
Absolutely.
So don't be afraid to do that. TheValleyOutdoors.com. Fish with us tab. Punch it in, and we got that nailed down. Make it happen. Story teased at the top of the hour, Don, before we talk about the gun laws and what hunters should know. A black bear died in Tennessee after breaking into a car. Now, everybody's saying, how in the world does a bear break into a car?
And then die?
Well, and then die. So
Let me just put it this way. He didn't die with the door open.
Correct. Yeah. Apparently, this bear used its teeth and paws to open the unlocked door. And, of course, you know, if you've ever opened a door quickly, if you jump inside, if you hit the door and the door goes all the way out to its hinge stop point, it'll rebound and come right back and shut. Right?
It must have been what happened.
It was 95 degrees outside. Oof. And and the bear saw food, got stuck, and the old saying, be careful what you wish for.
He succumbed, huh?
Yeah, I think that car might have to have some fumigation going on after.
Any idea how long it was in there before the owner discovered this bear rug?
No, apparently that hasn't been part of the story. Well, apparently it is. I read the story and I missed it. 10 a.m. and returned at 6:45. So the bear was somewhere in between probably 3 and 4 hours was in there. So,
oof.
Well, you could have cooked bear.
Yeah, I was saying it's gonna be cooked already. Oof.
No, that would not be good.
No.
Interesting thing about the bear side of it, they have a nose that's 7 times better than a bloodhound and even can smell the faintest odor of food from inside a vehicle. If they're standing outside, they can smell that food inside the vehicle, which is bizarre, quite bizarre. So if you're in an area in northern, you know, in any woody area that you're expecting there may be bears, it may behoove you to lock the door and take the food out of it, because they will tear the vehicle apart to get in to that vehicle.
Yeah, I saw a video one time of a grizzly bear tearing a pickup apart.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he didn't use any wrenches.
No.
I mean, the amount of strength that they have is amazing.
Yeah, get to a certain point, you can't get past it. But, boy, they certainly did probably made mincemeat of that. That's not a good thing. and unfortunate for the bear. So we apologize, and my heart goes out to his family and friends.
We're stretching it now.
Story again, we hit on this a little bit just as far as we're going to cover the story, but what hunters should know about the new gun bill. I know, Don, I know you've looked at it probably a little bit. In two bipartisan votes in as many days, the Congress passed its first major piece of gun-related legislation in over two decades. While the bill covers mental health, school security, background checks, red flag laws, straw purchases, and domestic violence, it does not include many of the Biden administration's favorite proposals. Most American hunters are unlikely to be affected by the new law since it doesn't impose any new bans on firearms, ammunition, or hunting gear, which is good news. That's a good thing. So what's in the bill? So I had to peruse this several times to come up with it, Don. You can see my highlighted pages. Mm-hmm. One of the provisions, for example, creates a $750 million fund over the next 5 years to encourage states to pass and maintain crisis intervention services. These services intervene in the lives of people who are ruled to be in danger of themselves or others and can include so-called red flag orders. Other provisions increase funding of school-based mental health services, school security measures, and community violence intervention. Another portion of the bill prohibits firearm ownership from those who have been convicted of abusing dating partners. Current law bars anyone from owning a firearm who has been convicted of domestic abuse of a spouse, former spouse, or someone who has cohabitated with the victim, or someone who shares a child with the victim. The new bill would expand the prohibition of domestic abusers who have had a continuing serious relationship or romantic or intimate nature with the victim. Another portion of it that received very little attention so far, Don, is it would enhance the background checks requirement for 18 to 20-year-olds who try to buy a firearm from a federally licensed dealer. While red flag laws and domestic abuse laws affect a relatively small portion of gun owners, this provision would affect all prospective gun owners under 21 years of age, no matter their criminal history or type of firearm they wish to purchase. Current law requires all federally licensed gun dealers to perform background checks on all gun buyers through the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. This system is maintained by the FBI. It's used to determine whether a prospective gun buyer is a prohibited person. The list of offenses can be made, can make one prohibited person, it could be extensive, among other things, be a fugitive from justice, have been educated as a mentally defective, and an unlawful user of a controlled substance and having committed crime punishable by imprisonment. The Safer Community Act would require the FBI to look up a buyer's juvenile criminal records as well. And agents would also have the ability to contact local law enforcement of the jurisdiction in which the buyer resides to determine whether they are a prohibited person.
Now, I'll comment on that. I'm not sure how it affects, you know, Michigan or Wisconsin, the Dakotas. But in Minnesota, that's already been the case where the background check has to be done. So
right.
It and really it doesn't, in Minnesota, it doesn't affect anything at this point.
I think it's just a matter of some of the refinements. They may have tightened up a little bit. What are people saying about the bill? That's also important, too, the people that are in the know.
Right.
The National Shooting Sports Foundation, however, acknowledged some provisions of this bill are worthy of support. They actually were working with the Senate. They said the Gun Industry Trade Association said it was thankful the bill provides funding for mental health treatment and services. The organization also said it supports portions of the legislation that increases penalties for straw purchasing and firearms trafficking and reaffirmed its support for shoring up the NIC system. However, they also said the National Shooting Sports Foundation does not support increased funding for red flag laws because the bill does not require states that receive funding to incorporate robust due process protection.
And right.
That's a big one. In addition, the NSSF does not support new background check requirements for 18 to 20-year-olds. So they do not support that. And again, it comes down to if they have mental aspects that are at issue, then it should have been or should be pursued by local law enforcement at that point. So I thought that was...
Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue that I've heard is the red flag provision that's in there.
Yep. The bill provides funding for FBI to hire more agents to meet the increased workload, but they said they're skeptical that they'll be able to conduct the new checks in a timely manner, which is a good point as well. And what's next? The bipartisan Safer Communities Act could be the first of many federal gun bills, or it could be a flash in the pan. They noted that the Republicans are expected to regain control of the House in November, and the top three Republican House leaders have all voiced opposition to the legislation. The odds that they will turn around and pass more gun laws in the future are very, very low, is what the NSSF said. So, I don't know, Don. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, this all comes about because of some of these mass shootings that happened, which, of course, that's what fires up that base to want to have these types of laws. And in the last case, you know, that would have been critically important had they dealt with it.
Yeah, interesting. Well, hang tight. We're going to be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors. It's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away a trip to four individuals that includes lodging in Ashkenham Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join Don and I on this fabulous fishing trip September 17th through the 22nd. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar and contests for prizes throughout the trip. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Crimp sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio and Ashkenham Resort. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on August 20th on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Complete promotional rules available at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Donald, I have to jump into the story that I know you're going to love.
I'm anxious to hear this one.
You're so going to be anxious. Ava, I think you're going to enjoy this as well. Carpus delectus.
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
There we go. Why you should keep carp and how to use them.
I know why to keep them. I don't know why to use them.
Unless you're from overseas, the ordinary, run-of-the-mill common carp, it isn't really on your radar.
It's not on my plate either.
No. You may catch one or two by accident while fishing and anything else besides carp, but as far as targeting these rough fish, we'll just call it that, yeah, not so much, correct?
No, I've never intended to.
It's a shame because really, yes, this fish, fishing for them and catching them, they fight like a ton of bricks.
Oh, yeah, and I've caught them, but I wasn't fishing for them.
Yeah, now the other thing is kind of cool is they're everywhere.
Coast to coast.
They're omnivorous. They can be both caught on live bait and artificial. I've caught one on Arapaima.
Sure.
And fishing for walleye. And that was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And it was probably 12 pounds, 15 pounds.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you look at it, people don't keep it because they don't want to eat it. Now, as a kid, I kept them and we'd smoke them. Put a maple brine in it, or smoke them with a glaze, maple glaze on it. They were awesome.
Yeah, they're greasy.
Surprising.
They're greasy.
But when you smoke them, that comes out of it.
Not all of it.
Well, a lot of it does. It was good. I enjoyed it. So, picking the right fish, Donald, is number one. Not every carp you catch is going to work in every situation. For the culinary purposes, you want a smaller 1 to 4 pound fish, preferably out of cold, clear water. And if you're going to eat them, you want to clean them very carefully, almost surgically, scaling them, leave the skin on, and absolutely remove every little bit of red meat and fat from the fillet, which is easy enough. It's like zippering the fillet. You leave the skin on. You can cut at one end. It'll peel right off, right okay. through the middle of the fish.
All right.
Pressure can carp, get rid of the bones. Pressure can.
Pressure cook them to get rid of the bones.
Mm-hmm. You can do a pressure can fish scenario like you do with shellfish, and it works quite well. Scale and fillet the fish carefully. Remove the red meat. Pack it into a pint or half pint canning jar. Leave an inch of head space. Seal them up tight. Get the pressure canner ready and process 10 pounds for about 90 minutes without getting too far away from your equipment. Should something go awry, and always throw in a few slices of jalapeno, tablespoon of minced garlic prior to sealing the jars for a little extra flavor.
What are we ending up with here?
Canning carp's a good way to cook for a couple of reasons. One, the carp are obviously bony, and the pressure canning dissolves the bones, essentially eliminating the need to probe and peck for the bones when you're eating them on crackers. Second, canning extends the shelf life of the fish and roughly for 4 months in the freezer, up to a year or more in the pantry.
Okay.
Brine and smoke carp fillet. See, here we go. It isn't difficult to smoke carp. It's a tad bit time-consuming. The end result is well worth the investment. Cleaning, trimming the fillets, and same as we had in the past, brine the fillet, skin down in a large, deep plastic tub for 4 or 5 hours in the mixture of the following: 1 quarter cold water, 2 cups brown sugar, 1 cup of rock salt, and 1/2 cup of Morton's Tender Quick. Then off to the smoker and preheated it to 180 degrees. Pre-smoke in a partial tray of alder chips, preferring a moist smoked fish. Smoke the carp fillet to 240 to 270 minutes at a steady 180 degrees. And of course, you can play with that. And powdered jalapeno makes for good smoked carp, as well as the amount of smoke time as well. So you can do carp balls. You can do carp, switch it for catfish. That's the other thing you can do. And of course, last but not least, the thing I did as a kid, skip the cooking, dig a hole, fill it in, and your tomatoes will never be the same.
Or you can put it on a plank
and then
cook it up really good, and throw then the you fish throw away the, and eat the plank.
Exactly. Yeah. See, yeah, same thing with lutefisk. That's my favorite way to eat it. Well, speaking of eating, I hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will be seeing you guys next week for the Valley Outdoors. Don, myself, Eric, and Ava, we are wishing you a happy 4th. Have a fantastic weekend. See ya.